Welcome back to our middle school podcast, and thanks for joining us again. Last week, I was accompanied by two of our Year 9 house captains, Tom Price and Cameron Wallace. They were hit with a few questions that a few of our teachers had provided. Our teachers wanted to hear the boys' opinions on a range of issues, and it was a great listen. And if you missed it, I'd encourage you to follow the links and go back and listen again. This week, I've reversed the tables, and I've asked the same boys to send me some questions that they want to know from our teachers. So I have asked Miss Kate Alexander and Mr. Alex Sullivan to return to the podcast, and I'm going to put them in the hot seat so we can hear their opinions on a few relevant issues that our boys want to know about. Kate, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
And Alex, welcome back again.
Yeah, cheers. Thank
you for joining us. The first question I've sort of compiled myself, because the boys have half asked it, but I've filled in the blanks for them. The question is, looking into the future, in your opinion, what are some of the biggest issues facing young people? Kate, do you want to
Sure.
kick
I
off?
Think one of the greatest movements for this generation has been technology, but I also think that it's going to be one of their greatest challenges. Let's just say I'm glad that camera phones were not around when I was growing up. Uh-huh. I think the use of electronics and social media and technology in general and the impact it will have on people moving forward and their mental health is probably one of the greatest challenges.
Yeah, good call. I think the boys have asked us a similar question later on about that as well. Alex, what would you say?
Just to further on from what Kate was saying, but also to sort of stem to what Tom Price in the last week podcast talked about, and that idea that they don't feel like they can express themselves unless it's through a social media norm. You know, like they can't reach out to people if they're struggling unless it's electronically. They don't have the confidence or, sometimes the gumption to actually speak to people face to face about things that they're struggling with. And I think that's a real concern in that, 20 years ago when we didn't have these medias or these mediums to sort of speak to each other through, we were forced to speak face to face, and sometimes that can bring out a whole plethora of emotion to help deal with those processes. So I think, definitely social media is an issue, but at the same time, just the amount of exposure we have with our online presence and what that can essentially do. We were talking to boys in our Year 8 class a couple of days ago about, the amount of things they're putting up online, and if you were to research yourself when going for a job, they've got all of these images at a time.
Backdated to Year 9, Year 8, Year 7.
When they're just the emotional maturity of these boys at that time were looking to seek popularity or whatever the motivators were, and they have no real foresight or really sort of...
Yeah, that digital footprint.
Yeah, what does it
forever.
Do? Yeah.
I agree with both of you. I wondered when I sort of put the boys' question together... and I know it's topical at the moment, so I appreciate the bias that may have come in here, but I wonder if this generation of 7s, 8s, 9s are going to be greater impacted by environmental issues than what we were. I know it's a growing trend at the moment, but I just wonder when, fast forward 30 years to when, or 20 years in your case, to where the guys, these are our age, I just wonder if the planet impacts their lifestyle more than what it does at the moment, so much what we take for granted.
They're forced to make decisions that are based on the planet, like even from plastic bags to the recycling system that they go through, or even to the use of solar panels. And where back when we were growing up, it was so new, or if not non-existent.
Just consume so much, and I wonder there will be a tipping point. I reckon this is the generation that's going to impact.
Hopefully that's where we'll see technology used for the greater good though too, in that we'll see inventions and technologies created that will help with recycling and reusing.
I will also concede I'm fresh off watching the Plastic Ocean documentary with my kids, who are only 4 and 6, but we sat down together and watched it, and
still no more plastic in your house.
Well, we were pretty good with that anyway, but it's certainly it's a compelling watch, and I think it's an issue that's going to not go away. I think it's got to, we've got to own it at all levels, from personal to schools to government. So, right, serious question over. on to even more serious. So the boys have submitted these ones. So we can rip through a couple of these. First one they want to know is, what do you think makes a good student? Is the question.
For me, a good student is definitely, having a teenager myself, this is really relevant to me. And I would encourage teenagers, in order to be a good student, I think that it's important to be resilient. Don't let every little setback, whether it be academic or sporting or cultural, or things to do with your friendships, think that it's going to be the end of your life, because it's not. And the more resilient you can be, and the more you can get back up and keep going, the better off you'll be in life. And I also think a good student is able to build strong communication skills, so to be able to have conversations with adults, with other students, kids that you're not friends with, you know, and really close with, being able to talk to lots of different people makes a well-rounded person.
Yeah, I think it's, like, for me, I just look for a balanced student. I'm not looking for the A-plus student. I'm looking for, you know, someone that can ace a test. For me, it's someone that can do as good as they can, and but also can hold a conversation. We're looking for, you know, when people look to go back to our last question, they look for people to solve problems. We have to work together as a collective, but they're being chosen on their expertise in the environment, not their ability or their compatibility with the group.
Yep.
And if you can be someone that can ace a test but can't have a conversation or work collaboratively with someone, then you're no good to the group or the community. Yeah. So it's someone that can genuinely be, you know, an all-rounder.
Now, I would have thought one of you said, well, they're all good students, so...
but they are.
That was implied.
Here we go. Do teachers gossip behind closed doors about students? So do you want to answer that one?
Yeah, I think in any industry, there's certain conflicts and issues that arise that are, you know, discussed. But as a teacher, we're all looking to make each student better. So if there is a discussion about a student, it's towards a better end. In terms of gossip, I don't think there is gossip. You know, we certainly work in a high school, but we're not, you know, parlay to high school traditions of gossiping. So yes, we certainly do talk about students, but there is no malicious intent behind it. Certainly to sort of make them better.
Yeah, we gossip about the Masked Singer identity,
obviously,
not the students. Kate, how do you feel about homework and giving it to students, and do you think it's beneficial?
Is this why I was nominated for this podcast?
No.
Because you know how I feel about this topic.
No, we want to know your opinion.
I am not a fan of homework, mainly because I feel that homework is completed by the students who don't really need the extra practice, often not completed by students who may be struggling with the work that we're doing in class, or work that just reinforces misconceptions or just requires students who already know the answers to spend a whole lot of time sitting at a desk at home of an afternoon when I feel like they should be doing things to burn off steam and just relax. So do I believe in study techniques and you know, learning that you do have to sit and revise work that you've done during the day and study for assessment and complete assessment in your own time? Yes, I believe that that's very important. Do I believe in homework as such, extra work that you've been given by a teacher to do in your own time at home? No, I don't.
Sure. Alice, do you want a very quick answer to that one?
Yeah, look, I'm totally with Kate on this one. Yep. I don't think that there's a, you know, a burning desire to enforce a strict rule across the board. But if there are certain students that need to do work at home about certain concepts that they don't understand, then they certainly should be doing work at home. But
well, the boys listening to this podcast are going to be very happy with you two.
Matt McGrath won't be happy with
you. Matt McGrath will not be happy with you.
Sorry, Mr. McGrath.
Here we go. Do you think that phones should be banned or should be integrated into our learning, given it's like a computer that fits in our pocket? That's their question. I'll say it again. Do you think that phones should be banned or integrated into our learning, given it's just like a computer but can fit in our pocket?
What do you think, Mr. Head of Middle School?
No. Kate and I chatted about this earlier, and I am torn. I think we all are a little bit torn here because I have seen the technology used really well in the classroom,
yeah.
Beautifully integrated. It enriched the learning, and seen done well. It sort of convinces me, there is a real place here. Yeah. And most adults engage with their, you know, phone or smartwatch or something pretty regularly throughout the day. And I think there is a place here that the schooling experience can, in some ways, prep guys for life beyond when technology is sort of seamlessly integrated into almost every workplace. But when the right age is and what it looks like, I'm always of the belief that we should be modelling best practice. And banning things, I'm always hesitant about. Having said that, Kate, I flicked you that article about the level of distraction that it causes and to the learning process. So,
and it's really hard because I think if you have a phone on you and your phone gives you access to social media, as we mentioned earlier, how do you then switch off your focus on social media and everything that comes with that if you know that you have access to it all throughout the day? That's because I'm the same as you. I agree, it's got a place and it can be a really useful learning tool, but my concern is where it cognitively puts students.
I think, you know, like the idea that we as parents and adults and teachers, we don't model perfect behavior as well. You know, that there are people that will sit at a meeting and will be on their phone or laptop the entire meeting, or, you know, at home, you know, as a parent, you will be on your phone as well because you're checking in on things. And so modelling that desired behaviour, they're certainly picking it up from us.
Yep.
And being able to sort of show that, yes, they do have a place in the world or in this environment, but being able to, yeah, educate them on having that discipline,
yep.
Which as a 14, 13, 15-year-old boy, that's a tough ask, you know, even if as 30, 40, 50-year-olds, we struggle to do that as well.
Yeah, agreed. Next question, how do you de-stress after dealing with your least favourite class? How do you de-stress after dealing with your least favourite class is the question. Sally,
I don't have a least favourite class.
There you go, well played.
So I don't have
We don't play favourites. Do you de-stress after we all have busy lessons and lessons.
I think there's a bottle of red.
There's a cork somewhere.
Somewhere at 3 o'clock.
Recommendation you gave me just asking.
I think for the most part, it's that cognitive process of being able to realise the situation. So easy. You often have a moment in class where a student's reacted a certain way that may have incited some sort of emotion from that. I think it's being able to say, look, they were in a place at that point in time, and having the sort of the more holistic view of being able to say, well, that wasn't directed towards you or that wasn't there. So in terms of how do you de-stress, it's talking to teachers, talking to other teachers in similar situations and talking to people around you to have that support, to be able to actually genuinely flesh out any concerns or issues.
Next question. What's your favourite food from the tuck shop?
This is easy. Sushi or salt vinegar Pringles?
Oh, found your weak spots. Salt vinegar.
Genuinely don't go to the tuck shop, so...
Don't go?
Nah. If it was anything, it'd be a chocky milk or one of the choc chip cookies.
Yeah, I had a cookie today.
Yeah. They're just so crumbly.
Yeah, I had a pork riblet today, which I'm always a bit partial to, but yes, like good 2 hours later, and it's still sitting there.
Yeah.
I've come from Laurie's where you could get anything on a roll. You know, sausage roll on
we'll
a roll.
We'll put it on a roll.
Whatever it was, you put it on a roll.
Yeah.
And you just don't get the roll experience here.
Here's a good one. How old were you when you decided to be a teacher?
I was 25. So I worked in a number of industries before becoming a teacher. Actually, both Alex and I did a range of things before becoming teachers.
Yeah.
My parents always said, you'll be a teacher. Yeah, and really. I, true to form, did not want to do anything they wanted me to do. So I think I'd given it a thought earlier on. But yeah, like Kate said, I sort of came out of different careers and saw it.
What's your least favourite thing boys do during class? This is what the boys have asked. They'd like to know what the least favourite thing is that they do during class.
Oh, God. How do I put this? My least favourite thing boys do in class is not wear enough deodorant in the summertime.
Yep.
Or wear too much.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The old Lynx Africa comes out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. We need to get all the boys to listen to that. There's your feedback.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of smells going on with teenage boys.
Yeah. It is hard. The guys, so that deodorant aside, I reckon the message there is the guys that unknowingly, or maybe occasionally intentionally, but unknowingly interfere with the learning of others.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's probably the bugbear that, you know, the teachers really want to get passionate into learning experience, and you've got a couple of guys who are off task, which can happen, but impacting the learning of others is probably the bit that...
And that bothers students.
It does.
It doesn't just bother the teachers. It's something that when you ask the boys, it genuinely upsets them.
Right, two to go. What's your favourite... Sally, you're first. What's your favourite part about Villa?
For me, it's community. Like I said about the idea of de-stressing, there's such a sense of community at Villa that, you know, you can talk to pretty much any of the, you know, 100 or so staff and genuinely feel supported.
Yeah.
Even further to that, you can speak to a lot of the staff and they'll openly want to help.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's so rare and unique in a workplace, let alone a school. But even to further that sense of community amongst the staff is fed through to the students as well. So, you know, you'd be pressed to find a student in Villanova uniform outside of school that wouldn't help. Or I'd like to think that a student would get up off their chair and offer a seat. Yeah. You know, and that's something that, you know, is so hard to create and foster in a school or in a workplace. And the fact that we've got that maintained it for however many years is so, you know, desirable, but also so fortunate that we can be a part of that.
Kate, other than the salt and vinegar, what's your favourite part about Villa?
I have always said that the community, the Villa community is amazing. So students, just like Alex said, are amazing. Our parents are really supportive, really involved. The teachers, the staff, I really enjoy working here. So I would say the community in general.
Yeah, nice. All right, final question coming from the boys. If you weren't a teacher, what would you be?
That's tough because I've pretty much tried everything else before doing a teacher. So, I think it definitely would have continued in the Navy, you know, had things not paid out that way.
Yeah.
I think in any other industry that I could be of some sort of support, I liked the idea of, you know, being helpful to people. So that's something that's always been ingrained to me.
Yep.
But, you know, at the end of the day...
Your parents said it, you were meant to be.
Exactly right, it's destiny. Probably a famous football player, and I haven't got the skill to be a famous football player.
I'd like that too. Yeah. Kate, if you were a teacher, what would you be?
I would have been a paramedic. Remember sitting at the computer, tossing up between which course to apply for, and education won out because you just can't beat those holidays.
Yeah.
Cannot beat those holidays.
And we love the kids and what we do, but we...
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yes, and the holidays. That is perfect. Listen, thank you both for rejoining the podcast. It's great to hear you back again. And shout out to Tom and Cam again for sending through the questions. And they consulted with their mates, and that's what they've come up with. So that's what they wanted to hear. So appreciate your insights and sharing that with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and hope we hear from you next week. Bye.